Just a few thoughts on prayer today. Ephesians chapter 6. I don't know this passage, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The first thing that I wanted to notice, we see the exhortation at the end of this passage to prayer, and that the thrust of the passage is spiritual warfare. We should note then that prayer is a part of spiritual warfare. We can see that as an afterthought, because, well, it's at the end there. But usually, if you have a list, the most important items are the first and the last. And if I may say so, the last is actually the most important, because that's what you remember. That's what you take away, is the last thing. So the apostle put that there last as on purpose. And so we can be reminded then that prayer is a part of spiritual warfare, an integral part of spiritual warfare, that when we pray, we engage in that spiritual warfare. As we were noting this morning, it's easy for us to kind of either back away because, oh, this is too hard. And be as Mordecai wasn't, he didn't leave the gate. He stood at his post. Or we could just say, well, I can do that, which is not the case. This is a spiritual warfare. This is not physical warfare. You know, you can't lift weights physically and win in this spiritual warfare. This is a spiritual battle that we are in. And secondly, having noted then that prayer is an integral part of the spiritual warfare, that the believer has of necessity. Satan is coming against the believer. You know, what good would it do? Would it have done for Mordecai just to have left his post at the gate? You know, the Jews were going to be assaulted whether he was there or not, but his post was there. And that is true for the believer. Satan will assault. Okay? How is this carried out? We see it as a spiritual warfare, and it's necessary for us to note the panoply of the warfare here, and the apostle describes it, and it's all gospel oriented. It's not method. It's not, well, when he does this, you do this. Right? Truth, righteousness, gospel of peace. All this, he says, you have done this. You have taken on these parts, if you will. These are all parts of the gospel. He's not saying, well, make sure that you take on truth. He says, having shod your feet, and so on, this is all gospel-oriented. So spiritual warfare is carried on in the gospel. It's not specific. I mean, there are certainly specific things that we need to be reminded of in terms of when Satan comes at us in specific ways. But Christ has provided all things for the believer. And therefore, this salvation that has been given to us is complete. So this warfare is carried out in the gospel, from the gospel, by means of the gospel, through the gospel. It's important for us, it's just like I was speaking of, that we deal with regards our fight against sin from faith. This is that. Christ has provided for me. God has provided all things for me in Christ. There is nothing that is not mine in Christ. Therefore, when I am assaulted, how do I respond? David couldn't fight with Saul's armor and or some other fleshly means. He just said, this is not me, and so he takes up his little stones, right? Insignificant from a human point of view, right? Some little stones from the brook. How are you possibly going to fight a giant? And Satan certainly appears to us, and in comparison to who we are as individuals, he is certainly greater than we are, and we need to be reminded of that fact. And so we come against him not in who we are, but clad in the gospel and from the gospel and through the gospel. So spiritual warfare is carried out in the gospel. And then lastly, and just to kind of wrap it all together, is we fight when we pray. He's not saying we fight by praying, but certainly he's saying we fight when we pray, and prayer is interwoven with the fight. There is much to be said with regards to prayer and spiritual warfare, but let me just say a couple of things. Note that this is in the context of spiritual warfare. So there is that which if Satan is the opposer of the brethren, and prayer is a central means then that God has given us in this warfare, you would expect opposition, not merely to your life, but opposition to prayer. You will find opposition when you attempt to pray, of every possible sort.
Got that right.
Right? So circumstances will seem to make it such that, well, I can't pray now. Right? So we have to see the attempt to pray as having Satan come against that setting as well. Just getting at prayer will be opposed by Satan. Satan throws up every possible roadblock to prayer. So the fact that we fight when we pray, note then that Satan knows that as well, and that is to be expected, that the setting of prayer will have its own kind of opposition. And then what follows from that is that we ought not to give in. If this is a place of spiritual warfare, call it that. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we go into the tower and we wrestle against Satan. I'm not saying that. But clearly the apostle is saying that there is spiritual warfare and prayer is a part of it. And what does he say is a key element on our part? With all perseverance. We need to continue. It's a very, very simple response here. It's not my ability, the size of my faith. It's His. And our continuing to go to Him. Is necessary for us. It's very easy for us in every circumstance to become discouraged. Remember Abram as he was then, Abram's age. God had promised him a son, and it didn't come. And so he has a son by a slave girl. But that wasn't the heir. It says, no, you will have a son by your wife. And he's old. Perseverance, then, is central. And that's what the apostle is encouraging, exhorting us to, because that is what we tend to fall down on. That's not one of us. I would say that's all of us. Because faith and perseverance kind of go like this, don't they? What are the encouragements then to perseverance? Well, first of all, that He hears our faintest cry. Right? He hears our faintest cry. As Psalm 84 says, even the smallest, even the weakest, find a home in God's tabernacle. The sparrow, the swallow, says, finds a home here. And that's you and me. We, instead of storming the castle, right? Satan's strongholds. We see ourselves as the ones who, in ourselves, we can't do that. But God is the one that we're calling on. We're not doing it. We, as the weak ones, are calling on Him. That's encouraging to us in perseverance. And then, secondly, not only do the weak find help here, but He gives strength to those who come here, Isaiah 40. Even the youths, the ones who naturally are strong, they lose strength at some point, Isaiah 40, 30, and 31. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Our natural strength will fail. It says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. There is in this place, a renewal of strength. He gives the strength in the supplication, in that place with Him. So we ought not then to give in. The apostle, a central piece of his exhortation is with all perseverance, with all continuing, with all recognition that it's not me, it's not my strength, but it's His. So this all prayer that the apostle exhorts to in Ephesians 6 has as its center our lack of strength and the gospel that we come to Him by means of. Let's close this second sitting. Father in heaven, we thank you for your mercies to us. We thank you that you have called a people to yourself. We thank you that there is in the Lord Jesus all that we have need of. We thank you for the gospel that is all round, that is for every part of us, that is ordained by you, that is designed by you, that carries your people from here to glory. We do pray that you increase our faith, that you increase our sight of that which you're giving us in Christ. We ask in Christ's name.